Speaking of the Bardwells, I don't know, I think they have post the prayer request over here, but his last one, he mentioned that he's, you know, during the Ukraine with the war going on, he's administering a lot of homeless people. I mean, the resources are real low as far as for all people. So he's requesting if anyone's interested in providing any sort of supplies for homeless, gloves and socks and things, you know, if you have any of those things, you know, he has an address here, we can ship them out. Just make note of that, whatever, you know. So he's really requesting. He says, a big ministry, you know, we take it for granted. I mean, I got so many socks, I can make sock soup. All my socks I have, amen, and stuff. We take a lot of things for granted sometimes, sure, you know, but he's using them to minister to folks. I really appreciate gloves and socks and underwear he's requesting. Anything you have, he'd be happy to have shipping address sent to them. So keep that in mind and pray about it. See what the Lord would lead you. Okay, before I go on to my Sunday school lesson this morning, I thought I'd find this quite interesting. We're in these last times here. Article here, it says here, what's going on here? I eventually, talk about some man coming out. Listen to what he says here, very interesting. I eventually came out, my daughter, who accepted me immediately. She still calls me dad, but we're closer than ever. I'm just pressing that to reading this article here. When I began my, this is a man coming out to be a woman in 2020, when I first came out in 2020, one of the biggest concerns was how my daughter, by the way, look at how the news media writes this stuff. The news media gets you killed. Maya would feel about the news and our lives going forward. I wondered whether she would understand why I was transitioning and being transgender meant and how it would affect her having both a biological mom and a trans mom. Prior to coming out in 2020, publicly in 2021, I began my transition in private before starting the official transition of taking hormones in 2020. I had been wearing nail polish and dressing more femininely. This is a man, okay? I recognized that eventually Maya, that's his daughter, at the time she was 8 years old, would notice a change in appearance. I wanted the coming out process to be thoughtful and personalized before beginning the hormone therapy. I sat down and wrote a letter to my parents explaining how I felt and what was going on in my life, and I was authenticating myself. I sent letters out nervously, awaiting response. The day that response came, I was filled with so much love and relief. This is how news media put it. My father said he would love me forever, and my mother, in her own motherly fashion, texts much longer response, but also the same sentiment. They wanted to know how they could support me and wanted to know that I was loved. Our neighborhood had turned from a cultural, they call porch visits. They come around and visit and so forth, and good conversations and a few drinks, you know, worldly people. And they also had no exception. My neighbors stopped by, and I was flying high because they also showed that they were accepting of me. So here's this news media telling me, it's okay to come out. Your parents are okay. You see here, you see the setup here. Your neighbors were all accepting us. That evening, I was so excited that I went in the man's room. He's excited because his parents said it's okay, and his neighbors, drinking neighbors, said it's okay, supposedly. And I sat on her bed. I wanted the conversation to be something she could understand at the tender age of 8. I asked her, you know how I've been painting my nails lately? She nodded her head, and I explained, that I would be changing my gender. To drive the point home, I referred to one of Maya's favorite games called Gotcha Life. I have no idea what that is. It's a computer game. In that game, players could create their own characters, and there's a feature called Gender Bend, where they can see the characters go to the opposite gender. That games on kids. See the brainwashing, folks. I mean, the brainwashing going on. Dad is going through his own gender bend, I said. I follow up by assuring that she'd not worry. I wouldn't go out dressed like a woman. Why, she said, Maya asked. Well, because I didn't want to be embarrassed to you or me. Maya responded in that best way possible. She threw her arms around me and said, Dad, I'll never make fun of you. Even even through Maya's initial response was one of love and acceptance, she had some questions. She had some private conversation with my wife at the time. Well, wait a minute. His ex-wife, he mentioned. So obviously his wife wasn't real happy because she had divorced. Catch that? Ex-wife here at the time. So in 2 years, the wife left or whatever, kicked her out, whatever, wondering whether I would go away once I became a woman. She wanted to know whether I would find a husband and how she could fit into the family framework and whether she could keep calling me dad. Since my transition, I felt that I've become more empathetic to try to understand the issues of friends and classmates about those things. And honestly, I feel I've been struck a balance, especially with my daughter. Let's just hear. As my daughter grew up, she's come to understand that transgender means becoming comfortable and saying she has a trans mom and a regular mom, just like other kids have moms and dads. She recently told me it's okay to have a family that's not normal. Get that? She knows not normal. Just because it isn't normal doesn't mean you can't have a great relationship with your parents. I realize now how fortunate I am. My parents, my ex-wife, and many of my friends have been so loving. Well, why does she have an ex-wife if she's so loving? Amen? Loving and supportive throughout my transition. It has made living this be more authentic and life easier, filling me with happiness and grateful heart. Well, hang on a minute here. The picture is, there he is, can't see it, 2020, and here it is 2 years later. She's dressing pretty feminine, if you ask me, if you come look at this thing here. I mean, there she is with her blonde hair, smile, hormone treatment, she finally said. So there you go. I don't want to dress feminine, but there you are. See, it starts one way, news media, those words they give you. Oh, yeah, by the way, because we have here, we have now have a transgender Bible. You see that? Well, here we go. Ain't that something? You see, I mean, hey, man, you see that? We got to put a Bible to back it up. I mean, you see, I'm going to read about this a little bit here. This is good stuff. You know, here it is. Transgender Bible just came out. You buy it on eBay, $100, $100. Now, interesting about this, I'll get into the lesson here in a minute, but you know how you rate things 1 star to 5 stars? You know, some things you want to give no stars, but one. They're all 1 star, 5 star. There's no middle ground here. You know that. Either you hate it. There's no middle ground here. So let's read you a couple things about this here. This is a 1 star. Stay away, amen, from this corruptive nonsense. This is religious discrimination to Christianity by this book being allowed to exist. Christians not allowed to have belief in lifestyle choices that other people choose to make. Christians need to stand up, and maybe we need to react the same way the Muslims would react. That's kind of true. You know, Muslims have, you know, kind of get angry about it or whatever, you know, would react. If a Quran version of this was made, stay away from this book. It is not a representation of Christianity. It is the devil's book. Well, I agree with that. So there's a guy. Now, here are some 1 stars. Listen to this here, and I'll close this here. As someone who, it says here, I must say it's refreshing and deeply meaningful experience. This isn't just another translation of the Holy Bible. It's groundbreaking approach that embraces inclusiveness, affirmation, especially for the LGBT community. Remember those words I showed you way back, those buzzwords, news media, equity, inclusion? Those are all news media buzzwords that buzzing around here. The modern standard version, of course, you have to use the modern standard version, goes beyond translation, interpretation, offers a modern, acceptable language that resonates in today's readers. One of the most striking aspects of this edition is its treatment of the so-called clobber scriptures. Of course, you know they're going to change the clobber. We know what's coming here, right? If I even read it, you know? These passages, historically misused by the nation, and marginalized, they condemn the LGBT by community, are now re-examined and clarified, right? It's a profound shift that challenges long-standing prejudices. See how they use those words? It's a prejudice, you know? You get that, you know? Bringing light, what kind of light? The dark, to the true spirit of these scriptures. Reading these interpretations felt like a balm to my soul, especially for those who have felt alienated by traditional religious beliefs. The MSV's meticulous attention to logistic accurately using sources like the Septuagint, you know, I put it in there, leads to a scholarly credibility that both impresses and reassuring. The replacement of archaic terms like hell is removed, you know, and sin. They removed archaic terms like sin and hell. You need to say anymore? I'm reading this right now. I'm just not making up here, whatever, you know. It's a version of Bible that doesn't just speak to you. It speaks directly to you in a language that's both respectful and contemporary. And I can go on and on and on. In conclusion, here it is. The Holy Bible edition is more than a religious text. It's a revolutionary step toward a more inclusive, there's that buzzword again, and loving world. It challenges us to rethink our understanding of faith, pushing us toward a more compassionate and accepting and interpretation of the scriptures. For anyone seeking a version of the Bible that aligns with modern value and inclusivity and love, I always throw that word in there, you know, love, this edition is a must read. It's not just a book. It's a movement toward a better understanding of an accepting world. What's going on today? And what though? No one needs to be surprised about it because we're in the last days. Yeah. Lovers of self. You know, get it? Selfie? Cell phone? You know? Okay. All right. Let's go back to some scripture here. And boy, sorry, I'm running late here, folks. Book of Acts here, just wanted to recap a few things here. And this is, I like this. I mean, there's not a super lot of doctrine. Oh, yes, sir.
You know, a lot of this stems from not obeying the words of God. Bottom line. I mean, really, even as a Catholic, I remember, and I just remember, why? I asked my mom, and only, because I was a kid, I didn't understand, but you know, just like you said, these people, in the name of religion, want to be inclusive, they say. But bottom line, really, even being a Catholic, I remember, I asked mom, why don't they help you read the Bible? And I was a kid. You know, because I remember when I was a kid, they wanted us to learn Spanish, to read the Spanish Bible, my mom and dad. But we didn't do that at the church, at our religion. When you read scripture, the Bible says, because of thy wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. This Lord talking to you. That's the whole issue. They don't want God nowhere near
this.
They want to create their own religion, their own gods.
In their own eyes, and change the word of God. So they can I'll get rid of sin, hell, all the bad things. Oh yeah, no. And the thing is, you can think about it. It's a process where, like, in 1880, when all this had to come to Bibles, the churches stood there and go, okay, and then all of a sudden it was a normal thing. Well, what's the next step? Getting any Bible you want. I mean, you can see once the three dangerous words in the originals, very dangerous words. Oh, we don't. So they went back to something they never could see. And it lost the foundation. And then it's just changing, adapting. And of course, it's not going better. It's getting worse. It's hindsight is 2020. And we sit here and we kind of smiling at it, but it's really kind of wicked. And we see where, and it's all over the place. The news media, all the people. It's I agree with you 100%. Okay. Studying the heart. Now, I like this. This week and next week, I like some things because you know why? We can see Paul here taking the scripture and experience and putting it into practice, faith in practice. I kind of like that. I'm big on the application because good to read it. You want to apply it. That's the Christian life in practice. And recapping what was the attitude and actions of Paul. That all comes from the heart and experience. Used the situation before his old Jewish colleagues, elders, lawyers, political figures, and went on trial. Paul just got rescued from 40 people that want to kill him, remember, from Acts 23. He wanted him dead. And that's, this shows your faith in action. So I'm going to pick up here in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. And let's look at a few things here. And I'm going to probably end this next week with him in the boat and everything. But in Acts 24, verse 1, we have false accusers arriving with their lawyers. That's right there is happening. Anytime you got lawyers generally in the scripture have a bad context. I think Zanus is the only one who has bring him with them. But generally, nothing really changes the fact, whatever, you know. So here we have this guy named Tetrarus, and he made three false accusations against Paul in the first part of 24. Paul was a renegade, they called it. They use it sedition. By the way, that's what they crucified people for, because you know why? In the Roman law, if you were against the government, you can get, that's treason, they kill you. So trying to accuse him of renegade sedition there. Verse 5, a ringlinger, number 2, of an unrecognized sect, verse 5. And 3, accused Paul of profaning the temple, verse 6. And by the way, those are the same things they got the Lord Jesus Christ for, right? Destroy this temple. He's speaking of the body, but he's accusing him of the thing. Of course, you know, and these lawyers and the Jews lied in verse 7 and 9, making additional false accusations. And I believe Felix here was 95% sure they were lies, because if you look at Acts 23, 25, and the reason why the Lord laid it out, because the Lord wanted to show you that nothing really ever changes. If you look at Acts 35:25-30, you have this letter that I didn't know, and it's when they rescued Paul, and he wrote a letter after this manner. This is when he escaped. Claudius Lysias, also the most excellent governor Felix, sent a greeting. This man, speaking of Paul, remember they got him out of the basket out of the window. This man was taken to the Jews and should have been killed of them, and came I with his an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And they said that he forcefully escaped. So he knew he was a liar. I mean, but you know, these are politicians. They don't really care too much about truth, you know. So this letter showed him that, you know, what happened. So note verse 22, he would verify these things. Now, if you look at this off of notes, if you look at verse 22, in chapter 24 says, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of the way he derived them, and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So he had the letter, and he wanted to verify him. I mean, you know, they're accusing him of death. You got to be careful, because, you know, you got to be careful when you accuse someone here. So he wanted to verify his things. This is an old saying. If you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. That's what happened here. He had these people come in, the Jews, they're rambling on, and you know what happened? When you're in a bad state or lying, your downfall will come down. That's kind of a good principle. Paul had some folks mad as I had after him, leaders, lawyers, and Paul let them talk and plead his case. And a lot of times someone's against you when they're lying to you, give them talk, and you can smell them right out, you know? It's like you watch some of these politicians. The more they say, the more you go like, but you're liars, right? I mean, it's the more they say, they're done, right? You know, it's crazy. Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Now, Paul is asked to speak for the governor now. Hey, speak. And I see Paul calmly listening and praying and trusting the Lord. I mean, they railed on him, falsely accused him, same thing Jesus did. They wanted to kill him. They're falsely accusing him. And now in verse 10 of 24, Paul answers every charge. That's good. He's answering every charge against them. And this is a good application. Notice when he answered the charge, he presented the gospel and glorified the Lord. That's, you know what though? Yeah, it was against him personally. You know what though? But I'm going to bring the Lord into the matter here. You know what though? Put the Lord out there. Hey, what though? He likes that. Brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. You may get false accused something, but always try to bring the Lord in there. If you look at verse 14 in 24, or 24, it says, and this I confess unto thee, that after my way, which they call heresy, so worship I the Lord, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, ain't that something amazing, amazing scripture? If you, they call heresy, they call heresy. What do they call heresy? Believing all written in the book. Ain't that something? Hey, if you didn't call, if you stand for the word of God perfectly, you're probably called, I've been called heresy a bunch of times. Oh, you're heresy, Tim, because I believe this book, right? The religious people call me a heretic because I believe all that's written in the law of prophets. Ain't that something? Nothing. That's a great verse. When they say that, just wear that as a badge of honor. 15, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that they shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of us, just and the unjust. They're just bringing in the resurrection in 15, and in 24 here it says, and after these days, when Felix came with Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So obviously, clearly, he heard all these the gospel there in 25, and he reasoned as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. So there you know that. So Felix answered, "Go thy way at a time when I will have convenience, and I shall call thee." But obviously, here's Paul giving righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And so Paul gave a personal witness during these times. That's a great application lesson to learn. When someone, just get the Lord out there, give a witness, get the truth out there, and they'll go through anything. So that's a good application. Now in verse 27, note this here, like a typical politician, Felix kept Paul bound for 2 years, trying to keep the Jews happy. Here's your politician, balancing two opinions, and hoping that he would get a bribe. You know what that is? That's called political blackmail. You know, back, oh, you know, that's not me money. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, I'll leave him in here. Maybe your contributors give me some money. That's not that blind their pockets. Felix allowed Paul some liberty here in Acts 24, 23. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. So you know what though? Yeah, he's in jail. But what the Lord did, the Lord gave him some grace there. I mean, hey, someone's gonna come by and bail him out with some money pocket for the politician. That's going all day by lobby. We call them lobbyists, you know, today. You know, you lobby for name and blank, a pharmaceutical company. And then when you get out of your position, they give you $1 million a year to sit on some board for 4 times a year, and you're representing for them. I mean, that's what they do. Hey, just take care of us now, and we'll line your pockets later. You're trying to get anything legal? I said, that's wrong. That nothing changes. You're showing you this book is like reading it today. Now, in chapter 25, verses 1-8, 2 years later, the Jews are still looking to kill Paul. And so, I mean, 2 years later, you think they'd calm down? No. 2 years, Paul uses the Roman system to appeal his case. So here they come in 2 years later, and they still want him dead. Application. Paul used the Roman system there, and it was kind of more wicked. But we have a U.S. system, and I know it's broken. It's got some problems. But with the Lord's help, you can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9 of chapter 25, but Felix, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, see, allowed Paul and said, "Will thou go up to Jerusalem and thou be judge of these things before for me?" So obviously he's using the system, because Paul knew if he went back to Jerusalem, they'd kill him. I try to kill him, you know. So he knew that going back there, here they are mad, don't go back. And I think here, Festus knew, hey, I'll honor your request and send you over to Rome. But the Lord, Fetus, another corrupt politician, was willing to send Paul back to Jerusalem so that I'm sure would ambush him. But the Lord and Paul had different plans and requested to go to Rome. So he wanted to go back, trying to get him back there, wouldn't allow it. Paul must have given the gospel, because In verse 25, verse 19, it says, but had certain questions against him and other superstitions and on one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So we don't get the details here, but you clearly see Paul is giving the gospel, speaking of Jesus, resurrection, no doubt about it. No question about that. Rather than to complain about his present situation, falsely accused, people want to kill him, in jail 2 years. Hey, that makes some people pretty bitter and miserable. Hey, think about that. No, you couldn't get out of jail. You had visitors come in. You had all these churches that you were on there. Hey, rather than complain about this present situation, seek ways and opportunity to serve and witness the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy me saying this, reading this, but that's what Paul did. You see the application. Man, people get bitter with a lot of things that happen in life. They leave churches, whatever. Paul, I mean, he had some troubles. Now, Paul before Festus, Bernice, and King Agrippa, in verse 25, verse 23 to 24, Festus knew Paul had done nothing worthy of death, but did not have the backbone to let him loose. This kind of politician. So he wanted Agrippa to hear Paul so they could find some crimes to write. Look at verse 27 of 25, and it says, "For it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner that was not withal to signify the crime." They're trying to get some crime. They're going to send them to Rome, but if you can send a prisoner to Rome, what charge do you have against them? You know, there's no question about that, you know. So on my personal opinion, these politicians conspire together because, you know why? No one wants to take the fall on themselves. So, hey, a lot of times they have a scapegoat. One guy they blame, and, you know, hey, blame this guy here. But you get a bunch of people against with you, that way it's harder to get a bunch of people fall, like fall guys. So that's why in this game of politician, get the people to agree with you so it's harder to have one escape go. If you have three or four, and that's what I think is kind of happening here on that matter. Now, application. Oh, no, here's. This is person. What happens here, with example here with Paul, is a perfect example of joy. Remember what joy is? Jesus, others, yourself, in a believer's life. In Acts 26, Paul's speech is a great example. And we can look from the legal side, which I'm not going to cover the legal side today. Pastor Hoffman does a great job. But a great example of wisdom, maturity, and a powerful public speaking by a man walking in the Spirit of God. Paul's outline is complimentary. Look at verse 3. In verse 26, look at verse 3. He starts out and says, "Hey, especially," this is Paul speaking, "I know thee to be expert of all customs and questions and are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Now, I use that real importantly. Why? When I go into the jails, I don't go anymore, but for 25 plus years, or the missions, here I'm coming, a white guy, pretty much all black. And I make sure, hey, I don't get paid for this. I voluntarily come in. And I, will you please listen? I could be home. I could be home right now, at home, my wife, having iced tea. I came here. I'm here voluntarily. And what gets the people's attention? Why this white guy here could be home in a suburb home with his wife going to a hot jail? And please listen. See, you ask people. People are strange. They do what you tell them sometimes. You get that? So, hey, will you listen? Paul's getting that. Hey, I'm going to talk to you here, reason, but listen up. So that's an important application. Hey, just ask them, you know, listen up, pay attention here. So he's very complimentary. Asking for patience. Patience there. I learned to do this in GL's ministries, clearly from him. Paul told the story of a Pharisee whom he persecuted Christians, but read that to yourselves. So he tell you how he was a Pharisee and he persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. His conversion testimony. He mentioned the Gentiles, they have a part of the forgiveness of God. That was what they didn't like. They didn't like the word Gentiles. The Jews hated that word Gentiles in verse 17 to 18 and mentioned the resurrection in 23. So those things, just those what they didn't like when the gospel came out, that God is dealing with the Gentiles too. Paul was knowingly risking his life for an argument that was offensive to the Jews and unbelievable Gentiles. Think of that there. That's the acts of what this guy's doing. To a worldly, materialistic mind, remember, these guys are unsaved. It seems insane to risk so much to gain what seems so little, isn't it? You're risking your life for this. People die the martyr life because the resurrection, which Jesus rested for them. But as folks who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will discover that temporary possessions cannot compare to even the small eternal reward. Festus seemed angry and accused Paul of being mad. You're mad. Remember he said that? Read verse 24. Time to read it. Agrippa first answered Paul's presentation sarcastically. Dost thou want me a Christian? I think it was sarcastic, some of that, sarcastically. But Paul didn't react to and brush him off and made a personal appeal to which he hoped all his listeners would do. So look at verse 29 here in of this verse, verse 29. It says, this is 25, verse 29. Verse 29, I must have the wrong verse. Oh, here it is. A sincere, personal, that must be 26. Here it is. And Paul said, this is verse 26. I mean, chapter 26, verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I expect these bonds. So here he is telling them a personal application, a sincere testimony, and made it personal. That's what separates our faith from religion. It's in the masses. This is a personal matter. And that's, you get down to people's own heart and their mind. That's what separates biblical Christianity from all the mass religions of the world. Paul made it very personal. But the Lord, and obviously they granted him permission to go to Rome. And you know what though? Paul kind of knew that because remember Acts 23, when the Lord stood before him at night, he says, and the night following the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou has testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. So he knew he was going there anyways. So whatever he was saying, he didn't have a bad attitude. He knew he was going to go there, but he still witnessed, had patience. That's a good example. Now, let me give you one quick example, then we'll get... I had the same thing happen to me one day, accused at my old club I still belong today. They didn't like me because I always was preaching to them guys, giving them tracts, and they didn't like me. This is the old hunting club. So 15 years ago, I get a call on my phone, and the guy says, Duma, you're out of the club for 2 years. You have any questions? Go to the board. Like, oh, man, you know. So I sent a Federal Express. I used Paul's strategy. I sent a Federal Express letter to everyone on the board. I'm going to be there. It was Sunday at 1 o'clock. So I show up in my suit at their board meeting at 1 o'clock, and I had letters. I said, I'm coming out. I want my accusers there. I want to see my accusers there, whatever it is. I had the bylaws here, and part of the bylaws, I've been as members of a club since 1961. Okay, a long time. And the bylaws, if you swear, you're out. That's in the bylaws. They're smoking, cussing people. I mean, I didn't even really understand the law, you know? Half a quarter pocket. I sat up there, eight people there. And of course, my accuser's not there. And so I go, what's the problem here? Well, Tim Duma, you were shooting deer and not finding them. I heard you shot a deer and find it. I go, oh, you mean it's one right here? I had a picture. I had the confirmation from the state. Okay, we heard that you were rapidly shooting on this one day here when they had to drive across the property. I go, what day was that? Well, that was Sunday. I go, well, I don't go on a Sunday. We heard you were driving your ATV and causing problems in this grass. I go, well, let's go over there and see where that at. Of course, they didn't have anything against me. So I stood there cautiously trying to offer the Lord a little bit, you know. And so they said, okay, Tim, you can stay, but we're watching you. And here's the story thing about it is. The guy that was pushing didn't like me. I know his name. His name was Skaintis, I think. Skaintis. He went there. And in the spring... I feel bad being falsely accused. It's only hunting. In the spring, I'm walking around, and I look, and this lightning hit this tree, and it flattened the tree, and there was a deer stand on it, and I completely shredded it down. I look around, and at that club, you have to have your name on there, a number. Sankus. And I think, oh, the Lord saw that guy's tree, struck it down, crushed it. You know what, though? Me and the Lord had some good fellowship right there. He goes, Brother Tim, don't worry about that. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm kidding you. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I just smile. Sometimes the Lord gives you a little something that's true, the little personal thing, zapped his tree down, crushed right there. And I say, amen, Lord. I just, you know. So, that's all true story. The Lord, just you stand for the Lord. And you know what, though? The Lord, personally, the Lord will do something in your life. And what it'll draw him closer to you, to him, and you have great fellowship, and it's a personal matter. Get that? So I'm sure Paul had this in compound in many hold. Okay? Get that? So we'll finish up next week on Paul, some bishops I mean, he had in the boat. Father, thank you very much. Sorry for going further and longer than anticipated, but a lot of good stuff here in Scripture that we want to get, Father. It's a book, a living book, Lord, you can apply today so clearly. Nothing changes, Father. It's alive. Thank you for it, Father. I pray now as we close, I pray for Brother Hoffman as he brings in the lesson, and we sing some hymns, and may you meet with you wonderfully and joyfully today. May you convict us and rebuke and reprove us in any matter we have, and just praise you today, Father. And we thank you for what you have done, are doing, and will do. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen.